At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive.
All right. Well, welcome to our Journey to Thriving series. I'm excited today to talk to one of our OG pharmacists, Sarah Jastrom. Dr. Sarah Jastrom lives in the Minnesota Twin Cities area and has been a part of our team since the beginning. And it's been so wonderful to get to know you, and just your passion for serving others is so evident in everything that you do. So thank you for your time today and sitting down and chatting with me about your journey. And also, we're going to get into a little bit of the journey of some of your patients as well. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about you and sort of go into what first sparked your interest in functional integrative medicine? Where did that journey begin, and sort of how has it brought you to where you are today?
Sure. Thank you for taking the time. I struggle with this question because oftentimes when we hear people's stories about like functional medicine, they have this long history of complaints or various, you know, misdiagnoses or diagnoses are not being addressed within the conventional medicine system. And then they land in this framework that we know of functional medicine. I actually came to it kind of by the circuitous route of learning all kind of the different pieces that go into functional medicine on their own. And I didn't know that they were put together as functional medicine. It started when I found out that I was pregnant. And it was an unplanned, unexpected pregnancy. Actually, not necessarily a desired thing in my life. I was really excited to just have it be me and my husband, and we're just going to be on our own and travel the world and do a bunch of things. And all of a sudden, we had to like take care of a new person. And like, what does that look like? And so it really started when I went to the library and I took out What to Expect When You're Expecting, and then The Business of Being Born. And I read The Business of Being Born and was like, there is no way I'm going to let this child come into the world in a hospital where we put sick people. Like, it just, there was just this disconnect. I wasn't a pharmacist at the time. I was working in after-school care with kids and had a healthy interest in like bacteria and the gut biome. I would read articles on it just because I thought it was very interesting. And so that point launched me into this path of like, well, what does it look like when we trust our bodies to do what they're designed to do? Because that's really what natural childbirth ends up being. And so I had my daughter in a birth center without intervention. I often tell other expecting moms that they should never, ever utilize my experience as support for their journey, because I was kind of a unicorn situation where it was easy and uncomplicated and fast. But through that, I started to realize that we medicate and we kind of put band-aids on things that we maybe don't necessarily need to medicate or aren't necessarily a problem. Like, the whole idea that birth is something wrong with you or pregnancy is something that needs to be fixed was really like, it really just didn't sit well. And so when I went to pharmacy school, I actually went to pharmacy school with the intention of learning about medication so I knew how they would work, so I could help people get off of them. Because I was like, if we need to digest our food, we need to support the digestive process, not medicate it so it doesn't work quite as well. And so through that, I ended up with some digestive issues, likely due to stress from living abroad. And, you know, all of a sudden then I'm on this journey of like, what do I do with my gut? What's going on there? And so I tried out different diets. I did a Whole30. I've done a GAPS diet, which that was amazingly eye-opening because I was sitting in really boring pharmacy classes right after lunch, and I was like awake and attentive and alert. And I could look around the room and all of my classmates are like dozing off because they'd just eaten, you know, big sandwiches, really carb heavy meals. They're drinking pop and they're just getting that crash afterwards. And I'm like, Oh, this is really interesting. I might like social and administrative pharmacy. And I'm like, no, actually, I'd prefer to talk to patients.
Yeah.
But it opened the door for like, oh, diet plays a role in how our
Yeah.
bodies work. And then I don't remember, I think I was at a conference and I was talking with a orthomolecular rep and I was struggling with allergies. And they were like, you should try dehist. And I was like, psh, herbs don't do
Right.
anything.
That's what we're fed in pharmacy school, right? There's limited evidence to recommend this. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I was like, at the time I was on, a 12-hour medication. I was doing Sudafed and I was doing a nasal spray to just deal with seasonal allergies. And I took it and I was like, oh, I don't need to take any of these other allergy meds. Like, this is great. And I started doing more research and I was like, oh, look, it's helping heal my gut as well.
Right.
And so it wasn't until actually I had a classmate after college who was like, Sarah, you should come do this continuing education event. And it was one of the functional medicine CE events.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I knew this.
And
Who was it that invited you?
it was my friend Alyssa Wren, who is a
Okay.
pharmacist. She doesn't do functional medicine. She actually was working in the veterinary med
Okay.
world. And I don't know how she found it, but she was like,
Yeah.
Sarah, you should come and we should do a CE day. And I like went down to her house, which is an hour and a half away, and we sat and watched it together. She was really sick, and it was right before COVID.
Yeah,
And so it was.
2019 was probably our first conference, like our 2019 one that we had the fall of in November,
It
first
was
part
February.
of
So it was the one in
February. Oh, it was
February
the
that
pain
I
one. Okay. Yeah,
came.
it was the second one then. Okay.
Yep. And I remember just being like, this is everything that I've been like piecing together, and I didn't realize it had a name. And like, I kind of heard of the Institute for Functional Medicine, but all of a sudden it put all of like the diet piece and using acupuncture and massage and mindfulness and supplements and all of these things together into this framework. And I was like, here I am, this is what I need to do. And I just jumped in.
Yeah, I love that you went to pharmacy school with the mindset of getting people off drugs. Like, how many pharmacists can say that? Like, most of us found this somewhere along our journey, like, because we weren't getting answers from the conventional system or our patient or family member. But you're like, hey, I know this gut thing is important and these drugs aren't doing good for our guts. And there's got to be a better way. But you like having that mindset during pharmacy school, I think would have just made it completely a different experience.
It definitely, in some respects, it made pharmacy school a little difficult because there was a lot of times where, I would raise my hand and say, well, what about diet? What about lifestyle? Really, like, tell me more. I understand we're here to learn about the mechanism of action of statins, but our product, like our decision tree, the criteria, it says at the top, utilize diet and lifestyle interventions for 3 months on so many of these criteria. And I would raise my hand and say, what is this? And then I was told as a student by a professor that patients can't do that. So we're just going to skip to the drugs, that those 3 months don't usually work. Patients can't adhere to it. And it was just like, I feel like we're being taught to not give our patients that benefit of the doubt and say,
Right.
maybe you want to do it. Maybe it's just that they don't know what to do. And what does that look like?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I can't learn this in this classroom. I'll go find it someplace else.
Right. And I mean, and again, that's what most providers have had to do is search for this on their own. Yeah, I feel like at some points, like we've been so ingrained to like not trust people to do what they need to do because we've had people let us down, right? We've had people that don't do the diet and lifestyle, even though we're recommending it. And I feel like a lot of it is like a systems problem because a lot of those people that we've come into encounter with, like they didn't have the funds or they didn't have anyone teaching them nutrition. They had, all these outside
Oh, yeah.
factors that were against them. I was recently in a meeting with a bunch of endocrinologists and a couple primary care, and I was the only pharmacist in the room. And the primary care person got up and presented this case of this person that got a CGM or continuous glucose monitor to measure their blood sugar, and they drastically reduced their A1C or their blood sugar levels, and to the point where they didn't even have diabetes anymore. And the endos were like, "What? That can't happen. This is like not real life. And like, you know, they were so like jaded to the fact that like that's not what they see on a daily basis. So they weren't willing to even accept that was real. And that did happen for someone that was willing to do like the lifestyle and dietary modification. So I think that's been the problem with public health in a way, is like we're treating everyone the same and sort of taking that approach of like, or population health, right? Like this population of people is most likely to do this, is most likely to need this. Whereas there are individuals that are willing to say, no, I'm not eating this crap anymore. I'm going to make this drastic change. And while unfortunately that's not everyone, it is people, the people sitting in front of you could be that person. And so to like toss it out the window and say, oh, this isn't going to work, like I think is challenging.
And I think it does a disservice to the patients, right? And I think that, you know, I often tell people I love the fact that I'm a pharmacist because I can, and that I'm trained in functional medicine because I can say, do you want to be on this medication? Right? I work in a community pharmacy, which means that people come in, I fill their prescriptions, and we talk. And I'm like, you have a blood pressure medication. Are you comfortable taking this medication? Is this the way you want to go? And more often than not, they're like, I didn't know there was another option. And I'm like, look, this makes sense. I'm like, yes, take your meds now because obviously they've been prescribed. We need to kind of address this. But at the same time, you know, let's talk. Are you walking every day? You know, it doesn't cost any money to go on a walk. And I tell people, because they'll be like, well, it's cold out because we're in Minnesota, or it's icy, or it's this. I'm like, you know what? You can walk around your apartment. If you walk around your apartment for a half an hour listening to a book on the CD, or, you know, watching your TV show over the back of the couch, like you can get that movement in and it's going to help. It may not take you off of the medication all the way, but it might. Decrease, you might decrease your dose, you might eliminate some of the side effects, it'll end up being more effective. If they're like, oh, yeah, I can do that, you know, it's like, okay, well, what else are you willing to do? What else are you interested in doing? And I love the fact that I get that opportunity, but it also makes me sad that they're not getting that at the very beginning, right? You know, so it's kind of a
Yeah, and sometimes
balancing
we get
act.
down there on 15 to 20 medications now, and we're trying to be like, okay, well, which one don't we need? Which one isn't effective anymore or never was effective to begin with, but we just kept adding. And yeah, it's a complex problem for sure, because of course, we need to lower your blood pressure. We need to make sure you don't have a stroke, but we also want you to change your diet and exercise. And maybe address some nutrient depletions. Maybe your CoQ10 is low. Like maybe you need to eat fruits and vegetables that have nitric oxide, all of the things.
You know, and I think that point of like educating the patient that there might be something, you know, there might be imbalances in their body that need to be addressed, which that's why we're seeing these. I had a patient who I met because she was at a pharmacy getting a vaccine, and she just happened to be, you know, she was like, oh, I had some, she had osteoporosis, and she also was complaining about the expense of her medication to deal with constipation. She was on a medication that's very expensive, and she's like, I've tried everything. And the other pharmacist and I, we started talking, and he was like, you know, have you ever done magnesium? And she was like, that helps. She's like, I've done a mag, you know, the colonoscopy prep kind of stuff, and it's like been too drastic. And so he gave her this little diagram about how magnesium stores in your blood are maintained at a regular level, but the magnesium stores in our bones slowly decrease until we're functionally deficient, but maybe not laboratorily deficient. And I was like, you know, hey, let's talk about kind of the diet and lifestyle. And so we sat down and we had this big conversation about how her body works, why it's important to have a regular bowel movement, you know, the kind of just the mechanics of our GI system and what was necessary. And we got to the point where she was like, okay, well, let's try this. And we just slowly worked on her gut. And in a month, she was like, Sarah, I'm having a bowel movement every day. This has never happened before. And over the course of a year, we kind of fine-tuned, and then we addressed some sleep issues. We talked about, you know, food sensitivities. We addressed some gut imbalances. And we got her to the point where not only was she like more self-sufficient in her supplement use. So she knew, like, oh, when this happens, you know, increased dose or decreased dose sort of thing. But also that she was like taking better care of herself. She was getting out for walks regularly. She got herself a dog. She made the decision to actually move out of state and go be closer to her family because she realized like that's something that she needed for her social emotional wellness. And she was like, this is great. Like, I feel better than I have for years. And she's not on any of those medications anymore. And it's, you know, I can't guarantee it's going to happen for everyone, but it was that commitment that she had to, I don't want to have this expense. I don't really like the way that they feel. I know my body is supposed to work this way. And so she did the time and put in the work to kind of figure out what needed to happen to get to that place of healing. And yeah, it was very exciting. She, you know, just moved out of town. I was kind of sad I'm not going to see her.
Oh, I know that's hard when you have to say goodbye to some of the people you're like, that been part. And I think that's why I love community. And like, I've been working in primary care most of my career, because you get to have that follow up with people and see like how these changes are impacting them versus in the hospital, yes, where you see them for a very short period of time in their really poor health state and not in this time, you know, in this more relational, because community, I mean, it's one of the foundations of health, as you know, and having like a community around people to help you thrive in your health is what we're all about. So that piece. And I think that's why pharmacists are so well suited for doing functional interventions and integrative medicine, is because we are the ones in the community. We are the most accessible person. You are like, we are the only healthcare provider that you can call up on the phone and actually have a conversation with, or walk in the store and have a conversation with. And it's unfortunate that a lot of community pharmacies are closing because of the crazy PBM and all of the issues we don't have time to even touch today because they're so complex that I don't even know how I understand. But when you can order a drug for a price and the insurance pays you less than that price, something is wrong.
Right.
But I think that, you know, again, like when it's just really reframing, and like for the pharmacy profession, and that's really what I'm passionate about doing, as you know, like to be able to say, okay, when this person walks in with constipation, let's have that conversation about the magnesium, about probiotics, about the gut microbiome, about your nutrition, because it's not just about putting extra supplements in your body. It's about, okay, are you eating cheese all day? Or, you know, are you eating no fiber? What does your movement look like you said, instead of just reaching for some stool softeners that potentially are going to stop working after a while anyways. And so just really helping people understand that they have the power. Like, I think so often people think like, I don't have power to control any of this. It's just happening, and just like putting their power back. And that's one of the reasons why I love CGM, because it helps people understand what's actually happening in their body and they're able to make changes and have the power to change. But I think like just overall, like we have so much power to influence how our body works. Now, sometimes there's genetic things we can't control that happen, viral influences, but there's so much we can do. And somehow I think our country overall has become very apathetic to that. And just like, give me the answer and tell me what you think I need, and not really like searching for themselves.
And I think the other part is we assume that our patients, like for some reason, they can't learn it, or they can't figure it out, or they don't know it. And that's kind of the other piece that, you know, I would meet with this patient and she would be like, Sarah, you explain things so well that now I understand my body better. And I'm like, that then she could have that kind of support for why she needed to move. You know, it's like, well, you need to like move that area because as much as we have our parasympathetic response and we have, you know, the gut motility piece, you still need to move your body to help your gut transit. And she's like, oh, really? And I'm like, yes, go for a walk every day, do squats, do. And then it's part of the reason why, as much of, you know, lives get busy and we get to have kind of things overflowing on our plates, but I try to make sure that I make time to teach classes, because it's like, regardless of what it is, if you know more about how your bones are being restructured and what nutrients you need to eat for bone health and why it's important to, you know, maintain strength in that I go through in that class, then you can go back and talk to your doctor and say, hey, can you sign me up for a physical therapy class? Because I don't know how to do this in a safe way. Or, you know, let's talk about getting me off of these medications because my stomach is not working well enough to get the nutrients we need for this support to build and maintain bones, for example. And so just that, like, I love teaching the classes and having those moments when patients are like, and the participants in the class are like, oh, so I can do X, Y, and Z, and it's helpful. And it's like, yeah. And they're like, well, I do that every day already. And I'm like, great. Can you do it twice a day?
Right.
And so this last class I taught, I had just a few participants, but two of the women, we were talking about just generally kind of how blood sugar, like sugar works in our blood. What is sugar? What does it look like? And what happens when it comes in, and what is insulin resistance, and how can we kind of mitigate that through what we eat? You know, it came down to like eat whole foods, you know, not processed foods, but then also the importance of utilizing the energy you're putting in. And they're in an apartment building, and the apartment building has a gym, and both of them had been living there for over a year. Neither of them had been in the gym, but they both wanted to go. And they were like, all right, I'm not gonna, like, I don't really know what to do in it, but I feel more comfortable if I'm with someone. And so they like set up a time to meet on Saturday to go to the gym together. And it's just like, this is what health looks like. Like, you know, you might, it's great that we have those medications, but like these two people, these two women are going to be healthier now that they're going to start going to the gym together, even if they only walk for 15 minutes, you know, or they just get down there and then go back up the steps.
Well, yeah, I mean, because community, like the data showing like just connections and people and out of isolation, like that alone is going to improve their health, that they know they have this person in their, you know, in their network. But the fact that they're, you know, engaged with each other doing healthy activity makes it all the better.
Yeah, it was kind of exciting because that's, you know, you can't set that up, right? It's not like I can walk in and be like, all right, ladies, who wants to go to the gym together?
Right.
They just kind of like naturally came to it. And I was like, this is why I'm doing this job, is for these sorts of connections to be made. And, you know, people to then say, oh yeah, I'm going to support you in maybe a way that we don't normally support ourselves.
So I love all of the community work that you're doing. And I know you have branded yourself as the coffee shop pharmacist because you found, so tell us a little bit about that and your story with going into the coffee shop and creating community around health, even like in the place that I feel like people aren't always seeking, like they're not looking for the pharmacist in the coffee shop normally.
Yeah. So that really came, we're going to go all the way back to pharmacy school again. So there is a local coffee shop that the way that this, the bar area was set up was that you would order your coffee and then you'd walk past the espresso machine. And there was a kind of an open area where you'd pick up your orders. But the coffee shop was one that had, I don't know if you're familiar with like third wave coffee, but it was like single origin. They are really insistent on like how it's processed. They didn't sell decaf because decaf was like too processed and the chemicals were in it. And so it was like, it was very, it took time to get your drink, right? So inevitably you have people standing around the pickup area. But there was this raised section right next to it where I would sit and study for pharmacy school. And I could choose, like, if I was open to chatting with people, I would sit there. But if I like needed to study for a test, I'd sit someplace else. But when I'd sit there, I'd have all my books out, and I'm somebody who takes paper notes. And so I'd have, you know, notebooks and papers and my computer and textbooks and like this huge area covered in stuff. And inevitably somebody's like, what are you doing? And we'd have conversations about health. You know, I'd be like, oh, I'm studying for pharmacy school. And everybody has a story about medications or healthcare system or why their drugs aren't covered or how much they've spent on their drugs. And I just found like all of a sudden we'd have these conversations about, you know, somebody would ask me, you know, is it okay for my kid to take this? Or what about this? And how do I manage that? And it was like a low stakes, low pressure environment where suddenly you have an expert who can help you figure something out. And in that situation, all of a sudden you don't feel like you're taking time away from this busy pharmacist who, you know, we all know the experience of going into one of the big box stores and you want to talk to the pharmacist, but they like look like they're going to fall over because they've been working for so many hours and they've got like piles of stuff and the phone is ringing off the hook. And you're just like, there's a certain amount of chutzpah that's needed to like interrupt that person. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, how nice would it be if you could just sit down and talk to a pharmacist, you know, frankly, about anything. And that's really kind of where it started, was like, let's just have general conversations about health and I'll just be available in the coffee shop. You want to come have a cup of coffee with me? We can talk about your meds. We can talk about health. We can talk about raising chickens and gardening. And so that's kind of where it came from. And initially then COVID hit and the coffee shop closed. And so I don't have that community, and it's kind of still been one of those things where I'm not exactly sure how and where those
I do think you need to buy a place and start your coffee shop, Sarah. Like, that's what I'm hearing. And then there's like a little consultant private room there too.
You know, you are not the first person. And now that my husband's done with his master's, and like, he probably could pull a pretty decent shot just because he's kind of part of, he is what got me into the coffee shop in the first place. That's where I found him. I don't know that I want to jump into coffee shop ownership quite yet.
I know. You need like a business partner that's like loving the food part and you can focus on the community and the health part.
Yeah. And then I can like do the supplements in the community. But man,
yes, we'll pray for that. Because it's like, I was reading something today about like Coke and like how that even started out of the pharmacy. Like, it wasn't about, I mean, why would we know that's like terrible for you and not creating health, but like, it wasn't necessarily about what they were drinking as much as like them coming to get it at the pharmacy and the community surrounding the soda fountain and like all of that kind of stuff. So I think you have something. This is like soda fountain 2.0, but healthy things. So I'll invest in it too. So if I can.
All right. I'll start more actively looking. I might have a health coach that would be willing to like do some of the health coaching, but I have to find the food coffee person.
Yeah, I feel like the coffee has to bring the people in, and then you like convince them that the community and the health is worth staying for, you know?
Oh, but yeah.
So anyways, well, that's awesome. I love that story. And I just think it speaks to like being open and willing to share life with people, no matter where you are, whether you're sitting in the coffee shop, you're sitting in an airport, you're, you know, just going about your day at the grocery store. But like, we are like here for a purpose and living with community and just like how important that is in our lives. So as we wrap things up today, what do you feel like you would like listeners that are thinking and listening about this? And I think there's been a lot of elements of community. We talked a little bit about like gut health and constipation, but what do you want to leave people with? What does it look like when, if you have another patient example, but like that, where people are today and where they can be if they really take this journey and take a step into health?
Yeah, I think that I was telling you earlier, this is a little bit of a tricky one for me, but I think that where it's important to figure out where you are at as a patient. Where are you at in your journey? Are you ready to like jump in the deep end and do all of the things? So I had a patient who he came to me and he had a lot of different things going on, and some of them were definitely not things that I could necessarily help with per se, but he was like, I want to do everything and anything I can. And so he was like, let's do all the testing. I want to do all the nutrition. I want to do all the supplements. But then life gets messy. And he was like, I needed to help take care of my dad. There was various setbacks. We did all the testing. But I think what he came away with was like, he figured out kind of where he was at and what he could do. He was like, it was great to have this testing done because it showed me that my mental health provider wasn't actually as open-minded as I would have liked. And so we found somebody else who was going to utilize some of his testing to help with medication management. He realized that what he was eating played a bigger role in his mental health than he kind of thought beforehand. And so he started to be more conscientious about what he was eating, how he was eating, when he was eating it. And he, you know, he would come back to me. We saw each other kind of over the course of a year, and he would come back and say, you know, here's where I'm at. What should I do at this point? And then here's where I'm at. What should I do at this point? He didn't necessarily get to the point of, I think, kind of the healing that he was hoping to have get in that year. But I think what he found was he found much more stability in where he was at that time, and then confidence in moving forward and saying, like, I feel heard as a patient, and now I feel like I can advocate better for what I need based on what my values are as a patient. I had somebody else who came and was like, I'm ready to change everything and tackle my blood sugars. And then I sat down with her and I was like, okay, this is great, but let's be honest, we need to learn how to cook.
Yeah.
You know? And I think then learning that, and then learning what's going on, and that education piece of better understanding what's happening in your body, how is our body working, gives the patients the power to then say, you know, yeah, I want to go down this path of functional medicine. I'm ready to do the work. It's going to be hard, but I can do it. Or, you know what? I'm not in a place in my life where this makes sense. And I'm going to take my prescription meds, and I'm going to take them as prescribed because it's going to give me what I need to function. And I think both of those are equally valid and important, but you can't make that choice if you don't know that you have it.
Yes. So I think, like, yeah, themes from today: community is so vital to your health, but then also, like, knowing that you have the power, power to make change, and you have the power to ask questions. You have the power to, like, change the trajectory of your life. And it's like, and often, like you said, it's like bumps in the road. So people are going up, and then there's a flat line because, like you said, his dad passed away or his dad was sick, and then he had to, like, come back up a little bit, and then it's down a little bit. But normally, like, the trajectory is continuing up. And I think that's sometimes why, like, writing cases in this space is hard, because life happens, right? It's not like a black and white, like, you know, randomized controlled study, and all of it's very easy to show, like, the benefit, because it is this, you know, upward trajectory, but it definitely has its bumps in the road and life, you know, all along the way. But the point is that you get from point A to point B, and it might be slower than, you know, for some people than others, but eventually you get to a point where you feel confident in your healthcare decisions and confident that you have people to support you. And whether you're still on a few medications or you've come off all of your medications, and, you know, so I think it's so important that people realize that there are providers out there that, and I think listening, like you said, is just such a big deal, because so many people do not feel heard when they go to these other providers. So yeah. So awesome. Thanks so much for joining me today. I love chatting with you, and I'm really hoping that coffee shop pharmacy concept comes to life in Minnesota.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for everyone listening to our Journey to Thriving. We appreciate you. And if you haven't checked out our foundations course, we have a course that is all the foundations of health, many of which we've talked about today. And Sarah is a speaker for many of those sessions as well. So check that out on our website too.
Yep. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.